This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Call his wife in. How we doing? 4:03 on this Thursday morning. Only an hour left in our 5-hour midnight ride. As we take your calls at 888-808-1019. Good morning. Good morning. How we doing? We talk a lot of baseball, a lot of football. We spun the wheel of quarterbacks. Today was Russell Wilson. Dangerous option. Dangerous. With that weird... that weird sandwich-eating commercial. I don't know if I could play it. Don't play it again. I can't listen to it. Creeps me out.
Ever done anything dangerous?
I'm unlimited.
Never mind. That's too dangerous.
Too dangerous. Maybe Shedeur Sanders is a little too dangerous. A lot of people getting turned off by Shedeur at the combine and through the meetings. And listen, here, this is also, you got to be a little aware of anything or like take everything with a grain of salt because who knows who's telling the truth. When it comes to this time, teams lie through their teeth. They purposely tell you, oh, yeah, he's a bad guy, he's a cocky kid, I wouldn't draft him. And then, look what happens. So there's been some reports that he hasn't had the best of meetings. He's been a little cocky. We've heard him himself out of his own mouth talk about believing that he's a franchise changer and a culture builder and all that. And so, to me, as we talk about the quarterback position, for the New York Giants, as they are locked in on hopefully trying to trade up to number one, to get the quarterback they believe in, if there is a chance that Sanders falls. And I don't think he will. But as much as we talk about this quarterback draft and these two kids and whether or not they're good enough to warrant this kind of pick, the Jets have been reportedly interested in moving up to number one as well. They've considered it. They've talked to Tennessee, interested in possibly moving up to get Cam Ward. I'll tell you this. I don't know. I don't have a better option for them. If Shedeur Sanders falls to 7, and I don't think he will, but if he does, I think there's too much value there in where they are in the rebuild. You got Tyrod Taylor. You bring in the young quarterback. He sits for a year or however long. You start to rebuild this culture. It's your guy. This new offensive coordinator gets to work with him. Like, if he falls to 7, I don't know how you pass up on him. And I don't think Woody would, be honest with you. I mean, I know he's not making the decisions. Wink, wink. But you're going to pass up on Deion Sanders, kids? You're going to pass up on the star quarterback? Then the question, I guess, was just asked, would Deion let him go to the Jets? I think to New York, I think he would. I think Deion would let him go to New York. Another, you know, former cornerback as his new head coach? I think he would. I think he would. We also didn't get too much into the Rangers at a heartbreak loss, although they did get a point much needed. And Ovechkin scores the game-tying goal to make it 2-2 before you-know-who, Tom Wilson, of course, scores the game-winner in overtime. And the Rangers are now tied with the Ottawa Senators as far as points for the final wild card. spot that the Senators do have a game in hand. And I believe the next Rangers game is against Ottawa. So that should be, yeah, they play the Senators Saturday afternoon, 12:30. So that'll be a big game. The Senators have a game in hand, tied in points. And Ovechkin gets 10 away, 885 goals. He's been around. I mean, we're watching, and it's amazing, too, when you really think about it. Wayne Gretzky. I mean, we have thought about him as the goal leader, and he has more assists than most players have points. Like, I think it is, right? Is he that he has more assists than any player has points. Like, it's just unbelievable how amazing Gretzky was. But we are on the verge of seeing the greatest goal scorer in NHL history. He is now 10 goals away from passing, 9 to tie, 10 to overcome. Ovechkin, the greatest goal scorer in NHL history. And for the Rangers, like, it's a mixed, like, he's beaten the Rangers. He's been a thorn in the side, but the Rangers have always, even when the Caps were projected to win, the Rangers have really dealt some heartbreak to Ovechkin throughout the years. So I don't have any ill will towards him. And plus, he celebrated like a madman when they won the cup. He completely went off the rails. He was drinking vodka and dancing in fountains and doing everything else. And he was so happy they won. How do you not feel good for that guy? Plus, now as a longtime veteran, he's about to break Wayne Gretzky's goal record.
Yeah, the numbers are 1,963 assists.
Uh-huh.
The next closest in points was Jaromír Jágr with 1,921.
Yeah.
Unreal.
That's unreal. He has more assists than anyone else in the history of the NHL has goals and assists. That's crazy. That's some crazy stuff. That's why I say, when people ask me why I get mad at Tom Brady, and this isn't necessarily the reason, but I always like to point out, part of it is the amount of love he gets for winning. And I don't want to begrudge people love for winning. All right, they deserve love when you win. But I just view him as the least talented, greatest player of any sport. I don't know if there's another guy out there who is considered. And in some circles, maybe he's not. I know he's the greatest quarterback of all time, the greatest winner of all time. You know, when you say greatest football player of all time, maybe people say Jim Rice, right? Jim Rice. I was thinking Jerry Rice was next. Jim Brown, Jerry Rice, Lawrence Taylor. Like, maybe some people will say that. But I think pretty much now, you just ask, if this was, show me Brady. If we were playing Family Feud right now and it was like, top 100 answers on the board, who's the greatest football player of all time? I bet you the number one answer is Tom Brady. I think that's what started to happen here and what people would say. And so for me, if you look at it, I think he is the least talented. Now, he's won MVPs, and deservingly so. Throwing a bunch of touchdown passes, we know. Especially when it was him, that the undefeated team, when he had Moss, that offense was dynamic. Early on, it was his defense, but obviously became a great player. I'm not knocking him. MVP, if he didn't win a Super Bowl, MVP. I mean, Hall of Famer, right? But he's the least talented, greatest player of any sport. Like, he's not as talented as MJ. He's not nearly as talented as Babe Ruth. He's not as talented as Wayne Gretzky. Like, he's lower on the list for me. I've seen other players do it better. Like, I really believe that. I think you could say Aaron Rodgers plays the quarterback position better than Tom Brady did. Not in the biggest moments. But overall, Sunday to Sunday, week to week, he threw the ball better. He was more mobile. I mean, you could argue Peyton Manning was better, Joe Montana, but Wayne Gretzky, you can't argue. I think you have a real tough time arguing Michael Jordan. And Babe Ruth just so damn long ago, that's why you would argue against it. 888-808-1019. Let's open up the calls. Stuart in Brooklyn is on the line. What's up, Stu?
Tom Brady was the smartest quarterback ever. Could read defenses like nobody could. We were the only team that beat him twice, including the undefeated season, which I still say, OMG. And why couldn't the Yankees pick up OMG?
I would have wanted to. I'm surprised they not. I mean, it's they're not spending another dollar. I mean, that's just it. You gotta live. You gotta just understand it. Right now, their third base situation is going to be Oswaldo Cabrera against righties, and maybe, you know, three out of four times against lefties, it'll be Oswald Peraza. Like, that's it. Because I agree with you. He didn't even get a major league deal. You can't give him
a minor league deal with the Padres. Oh,
you can't give him $3 million. I know with the tax, it's six. $6 million to bring in the best option you have at third base. He instantly becomes your best third baseman. And it's $6 million. So, yeah, the Yankees aren't spending another dollar. It's just not.
No, and that doesn't make a lot of sense, but I guess they put their belt buckle a little bit tighter. And
I think they feel like they've, you know, I think they think Oswaldo Cabrera can do a decent enough job. They think that they can attack it at the deadline if need be. They think the pitching and defense is good enough, and they think that they're the best team in the American League, and there's no need to add to it. And if things need to happen at the trade deadline, you're going to need more money because you're going to add more payroll, and they'll go and fix third base then when it becomes an immediate issue. But
I would like to see Peraza get a chance also.
I think he's going to. I think he's going to be on the roster now without DJ, and I think he's going to get. I don't know if it's going to be a straight platoon where he'll face every single right-handed hitter, but left-handed pitcher. But I think he will see a decent amount of time there, and he'll be a utility guy. And you know how slick he is defensively, so I definitely think Peraza is going to be on the roster.
A very good arm.
He also has no more
options.
So it's either use him or lose him, and I'm sure they'll use him.
That would be a good thing. But, you know, like, for Tom Brady and Wayne Gretzky, Gretzky was the greatest hockey player ever.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's even close.
Right.
And then you can compare, you could say about MJ, Michael Jordan. In my opinion, Michael Jordan is the best basketball player. And everybody said, you know, who else? Jerry Rice, Jim Brown, Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth saved baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're kind of. It depends on how you feel about it. I think it's Babe Ruth still. He was hitting more home runs than teams. I know it was different. I know he didn't have to travel as much. I know the game wasn't integrated yet. I get it, but that's certainly a knock against that time period, as the greatest players weren't allowed to necessarily play in the game. But I still think just to how much better he was than his peers, you'd have to say Babe Ruth. And so I don't view Tom Brady that way. I don't view Tom Brady as just, wow, what an unbelievably great quarterback. And maybe I'm wrong. I view Tom Brady as, wow, what an unbelievably great winner. I mean, in the biggest moments, he made the biggest plays. But let's be honest. We just talked about Russell Wilson. That's a Super Bowl they shouldn't have won. If the Atlanta Falcons weren't ridiculously stupid, that's a Super Bowl they should have never won. I mean, that's two right there. I'm splitting. Yeah, I know. He should have won the two giant ones. I'm just saying. I never thought of him as like, wow, what an incredibly great quarterback. I view him as a really good quarterback who was in a great system and who won a hell of a lot of games and won a lot of championships. I feel like watching Peyton Manning week to week, I thought Peyton Manning was the better quarterback. Watching Aaron Rodgers week to week, I felt like Aaron Rodgers was the better quarterback. But you can't say that because you'll get stuff thrown at you. So Tom Brady, you're the best. You're the best, Tom Brady. I mean, he's won so many damn Super Bowls. How do you say not? I can't argue it. I can't argue it. But I can argue him against Wayne Gretzky. And in that, he loses. Brett in Long Island. Hello, Brett.
Chris, oh my God, I heard Al Dukes went to a funeral yesterday. Did his career die?
I'm trying to weigh that joke.
Chris, you brought up, go ahead.
At least it was a joke, right? At least it was an attempt at humor. Sometimes you just come off so mean-spirited. I mean, that was mean-spirited, don't get me wrong. But at least it was a well-thought-out joke. So I give you credit. And I'm sure even Al would.
Well, he was talking about his, I guess they're doing a podcast, a YouTube, and he was making fun of himself about views. So I thought that would tie into that.
Well, great. You tied right in. It's a Seinfeld episode. What do you got?
All right. So, Chris, talk about deflecting. Whenever I bring up Aaron Judge right away, immediately. He's the greatest hitter in baseball.
He is.
He gets you there. Those are the two things. You just brought up Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Mike always said Peyton Manning was the best regular season quarterback of all time. That's exactly how he described him.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be Mattingly-ish. It's going to be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Without, who would you rather be, Aaron Judge or Reggie Jackson?
Well, I mean,
whose career would you rather have, Aaron Judge or Dave Winfield? But it's important, Chris, because the greatest of all time, I'm going to keep saying it, how are we measured in every single sport? You can't dismiss that.
Because I don't think it's always been true. I think it's true now. I don't think it's always been true.
Give me an example.
Ted Williams around sports. Ted Williams. I mean, we've seen a countless guys.
The guy had a 400 average. Chris.
I know, but you could be great without winning championships. You could be great. Dan Marino is viewed as great. I mean, he's got the Astros next to it, but he's viewed as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Like now, it's just if you don't win, you're a bum. And it's I don't know if it's always been.
Nobody's saying Judge is a bum, but yeah. I think you're defending him as an all-time great. He's an all-time great Yankee, but he won't be when it's all said and done if he doesn't change how he is in the postseason.
Yeah.
And I think I was right. Did you ever look up the strikeouts?
Yeah, I think we said it was strikeout rate.
You were even surprised, right, on that?
Well, I didn't know it was because I didn't think he played enough to be the most strikeouts in the history of the postseason, and he's not. I don't believe he is. It's the strikeout rate. He's struck out at the best clip, which is terrible. Not arguing you. It's just not you said the most strikeouts. I don't believe it's the most strikeouts, but he strikes out.
Well, give him time. Give him time.
And he might have the most in a single postseason this past season, I guess, because he went to the World Series. But, yeah, listen, there's no arguing. He strikes out way too much in the postseason. Absolutely. Completely agree. He's been terrible in the postseason.
Last thing, would you rather would you rather him be pedestrian in the regular season and average, like, 220? But then be, Stanton in the postseason, or would you rather flip that? Like, what's more valuable?
If I told you you're
going to get to the postseason, you're going to get there with him being 220, but he's going to be Babe Ruth in the postseason,
well, of
which
course.
One would you take?
Of course.
Okay. So the Eagles, so how do you not measure?
Because when he's there, they make the postseason. When he's not, they don't. That's what happened in 23. They were as terrible as they were, and how it's awful.
Okay, so he carries you there, and then chokes.
Can you let me finish? Okay, and he didn't always choke. He's choked in the last two postseasons. I went through the first 4 years of his postseason career, and he has more good than bad. The first 4 years of his career. He's got an excellent series against Boston. 17, he was excellent against the Astros. Every wild card game, he has multiple hits and home runs and multiple RBIs. Like, he's been a postseason performer prior to the last 2 years. But the last 2 years were so pathetic, so anemic, so many strikeouts, that has now clouded everybody's judgment. And he's just always been a bad postseason player.
You're bringing up the series, though. But you're bringing up a series, like, oh, he was good in this series. Okay.
Yes.
We're talking postseason overall. He has not performed. And that's my point.
No, it's the last two series.
Carry us to the World Series and disappear. Like, why are you disappearing?
I don't disagree.
In baseball, according to you.
He is the best hitter in baseball.
Why are you disappearing?
I don't know. He's going to have to.
Why are you Babe Ruth in the postseason? Yeah. Like, that's the thing
I don't know.
But
again, would you rather? Because I'm telling you right now, if Aaron Judge were the one out with elbow tendonitis and we didn't know when he was coming back, the Yankees would be far worse off.
Why is Derek Jeter so legendary? Because he batted like 330, I don't know exactly, like 317, 330 in the postseason. That's why. He wasn't the greatest, like...
No, I know. He's a winner. Absolutely.
...player than Judge.
Yeah, but he also... He was the Rookie of the Year, and he did. He's one of like a handful of right-handed hitters since World War II.
And Judge should have won Rookie of the Year, I think.
To have a career... Yeah. He did win Rookie of the Year. Should have won MVP that year. But Derek Jeter also, let's not poo-poo it. Like, yeah, he's a legend and a Yankee legend because he's won a bunch of World Series, absolutely. But he's also one of the, he's one of the few right-handed hitters since World War II to have a .300 batting average. Like, He's a great hitter, too. He was able to carry. Same thing with Andy Pettit. If you look at Andy Pettit's numbers in the postseason and you look at Derek Jeter's numbers in the postseason, they're not overly, like, spectacular. They are what they were over the course of the regular season. Like, look at his, in 16 years of the postseason batting, he's a career 310 hitter in the postseason. He's 308.
By his logic, you'd rather have David Freese's career.
Right, exactly. You'd rather have David Freese's career. You'd rather, he's a little bit better OPS-wise in the postseason. But, like, pretty much, you look at it, Derek Jeter was just able to carry over his regular season into the postseason. There was no dip. Same thing with Andy Pettit. Andy Pettit had terrible losses. No one, Andy Pettit's such a clutch performer. That's right. Well, in game six, with an opportunity to win the World Series in 0-1 and finish off four, he got lit up and was tipping pitches and gave up 17 runs. No one remembers game one or, you know, against Atlanta. Like, I get it. And yeah, I mean, on some, again, David Eckstein is better than, you know, any other shortstop you want to give me is better than Cal Ripken Jr. Because, you know, because he's been better in the postseason. Like, whatever. Like we got to take it at an arm's length. And again, the postseasons have only really been bad the last two. And the last one, they did go to the World Series. And again, I'm telling you right now, this is what Aaron Judge means to this Yankee team. This Yankee team, and I don't care who the DH is. I don't care who the third baseman is. I don't care another injury to the rotation. If Aaron Judge plays 152 games, they're going to win 90 games and they're going to be in the playoffs. That's it. Nothing else has to go right. You can have a down, you can have, now you can't just have worthless years, but let's say Bellinger has a step down even from last year and is just a pedestrian hitter at best. Say Goldschmidt continues his bad play and is just, you know, a 680 OPS guy at first base. Say Volpe doesn't make that next step. Say Wells is, you know, okay at the best. Like, and, you know, yeah, you'll need probably Fried and Cole to do what they do. But offensively, you can get no other positive answers. If Judge is healthy, they're going to win 90 games and make the playoffs. If Judge gets hurt, you can get positives from Bellinger and Goldschmidt and a bunch of different places. They won't make the playoffs. That's how impactful he is. That's how impactful he is. I never understood this question. Would I rather be this or, like, would you rather be Dan Marino or would you rather be Brad Johnson? Would you rather be Dan Marino or would you rather be Nick Foles? Would you rather be Dan Marino? Would you rather be Dan Marino or, like, some of these one-time, you know, Doug Williams or what's his name in Baltimore that I'm losing with the great 2000 team, Trent Dilfer? Would you rather be Dan Marino or Trent Dilfer? I know it's about winning championships, and that's a stain that Dan Marino will always have to live with, and certainly Aaron Judge will always have to live with it. But, I mean, if you think you'd rather be, like, would you rather be Aaron Judge or, you know, Simeon because he won a championship once with the Texas Rangers, then he'll never be beloved. He'll never be Derek Jeter. He'll never be thought of in the same way as all of those great players. He'll be the great Yankee who couldn't win. Absolutely. That'll always stay with him. But he's so important to the damn team. We talk like it's just like, oh, would you rather have him be a 220 hitter and do nothing all year long and then be great in the postseason? Sure, yeah, I'd sign for that. How do they get to the postseason with Judge hitting 220? How do they get there? It's an easy answer. They don't. If Judge hits 220, hits 22 home runs, drives in 75 runs, and has a 780 OPS, the Yankees aren't going to the playoffs. So that's real easy. That's real easy. He could be whoever you want in the postseason. He won't be playing in it.
A good comp that's a Yankee comp would be like Don Mattingly versus Aaron Boone. Even though Boone never won a championship, he has one of the biggest hits in the postseason.
Right. Or like even guys who won multiple championships. Like who do we love? We love Don Mattingly. We love Don Mattingly more than Chuck Knobloch.
Probably.
How many championships does Chuck Knobloch have? You'd rather be Don Mattingly or you'd rather be Chuck Knobloch? Chuck Knobloch, big hits. Even when he was bad, he came up with a couple of big-time hits. But Don Mattingly is special. And Judge is special, and he's the best hitter in the world, and I have full confidence that come postseason time, he'll show it. Because that's what great players do. He struggled last year. He struggled in 22. Can't argue it. And didn't just struggle, was putrid. An absolute zero, other than a couple of key home runs, including one last year in Cleveland against Class A. But other than that, a no-show. He's got to be better. And I can tell him, I agree with you on the idea that I can call him the best hitter in the world until I'm blue in the face. He's going to have to perform in the postseason. And we could talk about the window of Judge and Cole. Oh, you got to win in this window of Judge and Cole. Well, maybe Cole should cover first base, and maybe Judge should hit in the postseason, and maybe that window would have a championship. Like, it's up to them, too. Like, it's not just up to the Yankees. It's up to the window. 888-808-1019. Quick break. More of your calls next. You're on the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Light me up, I'm wasted.
Mumford & Son. 888-808-1019. Nick Monaco here with you on The Fan. Got you for the half hour. Half hour left of our five-hour midnight ride. Taking you to the warm-up show at 5. Let's get right to the calls. Let's go to Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Hi, Christopher. Hi, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, sir. What's up?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, the Mets' plan going into the season, I believe, for the 26th man, the backup infielder, was Madrigal. And
I don't disagree with you.
And when that went by the boards, you know, you could see that they weren't going for another season of Oh My God, because they didn't jump at him immediately.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to me that the man they're looking at is Acuna and will sacrifice his minor league at bats because he's a good defensive replacement in case of injury.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's going to be Beatty.
So do you think Beatty can cover short if Lindor goes down?
For a game. I mean, they're not, I mean, or they'll figure something out for a game. You'll live with it. I don't think they view it, I mean, the manager has spoken about it. I don't think they view it as needing a backup shortstop on the roster. They don't anticipate giving him a lot of days off. And if you lose an injury, if he knock on wood, he goes down, you cover the inning, and then you call up Acuna, the next morning. But as far as, like, being on the roster every day, they're playing Beatty. They played Beatty at second base the other day. I think they're going to see if he could play there. I think he needs no more at-bats at the AAA level. He's conquered that. And I think right now he's having a great spring, and they want to see if they can get something out of him.
Well, we've seen that Beatty can't be translated to the major leagues in the past.
Well, he hasn't had a great, really big-time run of it. I don't disagree. We have seen him, you know, stumble at the major league level. But he's having another good spring. I'd give him another try as opposed to ruining a bit much. But I don't want to take real full-time at-bats from Acuna yet. I don't really want to have him just wasting away on the bench. I'd rather, you know, have this guy, Beatty, who I know can hit AAA, who there's nothing else to gain down there, and like Vientos, because I think starting the year, and I know for a fact, because I was filling in for Sal, I was with BT the day they signed JD Martinez, and Sal called in and could not be happier to send that bum Vientos back to the minors. So I know he's had a couple more runs than Vientos and maybe a couple more at-bats than Vientos did heading into last year, but I still think that he's got a really good swing. I think they think a lot of him, and he has conquered AAA. So I would give him run for a while as my utility infielder.
Let's not write off Jeff McNeil, though. I think he could have a big bounce back season. I know people hate him because they think he's mopey and all that, and he's angry. Well, I like to see a person invested in their own at bat and pissed off that they didn't get the hit into it that they wanted.
Yeah, I mean, it's not only that; it's that it doesn't do him any service. Like Paul O'Neill used to hit the water cooler and be like that, but Paul O'Neill would turn around and continue to hit. Like, it feels like it doesn't do him any service. He's getting into arguments with his teammates. It's not like he's breaking out of slumps, getting angry at himself or anything. So, like, I don't know. There's part of that. But that's a minute part to just the overall. He's not very good lately. I mean, he had one stretch of a couple of weeks last year where he was hot. Other than that, I mean, you have to go back to 22, the last time this guy was a real good. And his at-bats are so non-competitive sometimes. For a guy who won a batting title, right? Like, I expect Giancarlo Stanton to have some terrible at-bats, right? You expect Pete Alonso to occasionally have some bad at-bats. Like a light-hitting, you know, infielder, outfielder, you know, second baseman now for the team, who's won a batting title in the past, like, I don't expect him to have some of the bad at-bats where his hands go out and his ass goes out the other way, and he's just trying to make contact, and he has these ugly swings, and he chases balls in the dirt. Like, I'm just tired of watching him. I'll be honest with you, I'm tired of watching him. When he's going poorly, he's an ugly watch. And that is very different for a guy of his tool set and his ability and the idea that he's won a batting title. Like, I'm just, I wouldn't even kid you. If Acuna is playing well in the minor leagues or Beatty is playing well, and you get anything out of Jeff McNeil to start the year, anybody comes calling, I would move Jeff McNeil. I'd be willing to move Jeff McNeil right now. I just don't know what his value is. If he plays well in April, I'd move him. I have other options. I could bring up Acuna to play second base. They have so many outfielders. His ability to play the outfield doesn't help this team nearly as much as it was a benefit to other Met teams. Like, I just, they don't need him. Right, the old Jeff McNeil for Marcus Stroman trade that was like bandied about 2 weeks ago. I mean, I would move him. I definitely would. I would look to move him. Maury in Belmore. What's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night, bro. Great to hear Father Pat from the Bronx.
Yes.
I got three quick things. Number one, is Cashman on a one-year contract? Is he done after this year? Is the pressure on him, or he's just a Steinbrenner that got adopted? That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on that? Because I'm not sure if he's...
There's no pressure on Brian Cashman. I'm not sure. I got to double-check his contract. It's either this year. I think it's this year because he's... next year.
Yeah.
Because he was 1 year further than Boone, I believe.
Okay.
But so I think that was the case. I think it's 1 year after this, but there's no pressure on him. Let's be honest. Okay. They're not going to fire him. And the only thing is that he's talked about transitioning into a different role in the organization. He's openly talked about that. So I could see that happening. There's a chance this is the last contract he signed as the general manager, and he'll transition into some other role in the organization. But, yeah, I doubt very much they would fire Brian Cashman at this point. So I don't think there's any heat on him.
George Costanza is one of the candidates, I believe, is Brent. They're looking at interviewing. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I wanted to say about college NCAA, what's going on. Like, there's a bunch of recent number ones losing. I think the tournament this year is going to be crazy. It's up in the air. I think it's going to be one of the funnest this year ever. And then the last thing, every time you say the five-hour ride, you know what it reminds me of?
No.
You remember the Pink Cadillac song that Doggy used to bother Mikey about?
I vaguely remember the song. I remember the whole idea of it.
Like the concept, right?
Yeah, I remember the concept of it a little bit. I remember them doing, like, that's really the beginning of me listening to Mike and the Mad Dog. Was my uncle? I didn't really listen to them during the day that much. I don't know if I was in the car. My mom was picking me up from school. Like, I wasn't really that aware of Mike and the Mad Dog until my uncle told my dad and myself that they were doing, he's like, you know, Mike and the Dog. And I was like, who? And he was like, they're doing post game after the Yankee games. And that's when I really started listening to Mike and Chris, was after the Yankee playoff games and World Series games. I was turning on the Fan and listening to them after the World Series games. That's really my begin. Then I started to like them and then tried to listen during the day. But like, yeah, before, that's where the Pink Cadillac thing, I vaguely remember. I don't remember the song. I don't remember the song. But I remember that whole time period of the 96 Yankees, because that's when I started really listening to them. Patrick in Brooklyn. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Chris. Before I get to my point, I love that. I don't have a moment in my life I don't know Mike and the Mad Dog.
Right.
I wish I had that moment that you had. Yeah, exactly. It was just like
I don't specifically remember the shows, or I don't specifically remember Mike or Chris saying something that I just remember the idea of, hey, do you know that after these games they're doing post game on the radio, and I've been listening to it, it's good. So I was like, okay. So I turned it. That's when I remember starting. Or the first time I heard of who Mike and Chris were. Now, probably some of those games I was younger, I might have even fallen asleep and not listened to it. But I just remember that's like the first memory of who Mike and the Mad Dog were, where they were going to be on after the Yankee game.
Well, you're a big movie guy like me.
Yes.
And I kind of have the same thing. It's like, I don't really remember the first time I watched Jaws. I wish I did.
Yeah.
But like, Jaws was just like always there. Mm-hmm. And kind of like, I wish there was that like one moment that I was like, who are these two crazy guys?
Yeah.
Like, talking and yelling about sports. But why I called in, I'm getting a weird feeling about 05 Yankees, and I'm kind of more excited. I said 05.
25.
Yeah, I know.
Current Yankee team? Let's just make it easy for you.
Yeah, exactly. I was listening to a podcast earlier that was mentioning Tony Womack hitting in the two spot behind Jeter.
Yeah, those were the days. No one remembers those days.
Well, it was about the day George Lombard Jr. was born in 2005. Jeter was hitting leadoff, Womack hitting
amazing
second, and Sheffield hitting third.
Kenny Lofton, some real winners, some great moves back then.
Oh, and dude, and Tino was on a heater, and they benched Giambi back then. Like, Tino was in this, like, late part of his career heater, and Tino was starting at first.
Yeah.
Not
Jason.
Jeez, I remember that. I remember Tino Martinez coming back to the Yankees and going on that heater. I'll never forget.
Yes.
For some reason, I have a memory of that, too. Well, I remember I umpired that summer, and I have this distinct memory of, like, listening to the game, getting dressed in my car to go umpire a game, and listening to Tino hit a really big home run and thinking, man, this is unbelievable. Tino's resurrected his career. He's having a great run.
Yeah.
That was, that was 19 years ago. Good Lord.
Yeah, I know. It's insane. It was a trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
But listen, man, like 05, you know, again, 25, Yankees, best team in the American League, right? Like, we're going to cakewalk to the pennant, right? Well, that's like this narrative going out there.
Yeah.
And I feel like, aren't we supposed to be the delusional Yankee fans?
No, listen, man, I got a break. Let me just tell you something. That narrative is perpetrated by also the Yankee hater who doesn't want to give them any credit for last year's wins. Don't want to give him any credit. Oh, well, listen, it's an easy American League, of course. So now it's like, oh, of course, you know. Even he's not here. Actually, he'll be here in a little bit. He's working on the morning show today. But Fliegelman gives me a little bit of that vibe. I'll be honest with you. Every time I talk, we went through the playoffs, everything. He's been fair. I feel like I've been fair to the Mets. We haven't had too much of that back and forth. But when he throws out the, oh, listen, come on. How could they lose? They're the best team in the American League. I get that sense of, yeah, you're just saying that because, like, God forbid they win. You don't want to give them any credit. The haters are like that. Like, all the Met fans are trying to tell me the Mets had a better season last year. They're like that. The American League sucks. That's why. It's easy. Of course you're the best team in the American League. And while I do think they are the best team in the American League on paper, and I believe that last year as well, I don't think it's a cakewalk. I think the Red Sox are good. I think the Red Sox are better. Their pitching is much better. Walker Buehler's looked good in spring. Crochet throws 102 miles an hour. He's a legitimate ace at the top of the rotation. They added Bregman, who I think can impact him. I don't think he's the great player he was, and I think there's a reason he was trending in the wrong direction, and I think he'll probably still do that on some level, but he loves that ballpark. He's causing a little bit of a strife inside the clubhouse right now because Devers wants to play third, and they're going to figure out what they do there, but he'll help them offensively and pitching-wise, and the Yankees have been given trouble by the Red Sox for a long time, and really the one team that Cole can't pitch against, so if I could pick any other team to be the team that is the best, second-best team in the American League, I wouldn't pick the Red Sox. So they scare me, no doubt. You know, Kansas City keeps getting better. Their starting pitching is really good. Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the handful of best players in the sport. Like, they're only getting better and maturing. It's a different Astros team, but until the Astros are bad, I won't trust it. And the same thing with the Texas Rangers, right? You got... If DeGrom is back and healthy and pitching like DeGrom is capable to pitch, that changes who that team is. And they've dealt with an injury. Garcia's already down with an injury, but he was great 2 years ago, awful last year. If he gets back to his hitting ways, Seager can stay healthy. Texas is a dangerous team. So I think the Yankees are the best team in the American League, but it won't be a cakewalk. It won't be a pushover. You know, they'll be battling in their division with Boston, in their division with the Orioles, who do have a lot of young talent. I don't think as highly of them as I did, but... They do have a lot of young talent, and Toronto seems to be all in for the final year of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with them. So it's not going to be a cakewalk. They are the best, and I do think that their pitching is the best, and I do think that Aaron Judge and that offense will be enough, and we'll see what happens, even with the third base situation, even with Stanton and his injuries. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We'll go through as many calls as we can. On the other side, it's called Rapid Fire. Do I go through them faster than normal? I'm not sure, but we call it rapid fire. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right, 4:52, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. You know, speaking about the American League, I just saw Fleeks. It's true. Listen, there's no doubt. The American League is down. I think the Red Sox are the only team you can legitimately say got better. The Yankees went out and spent money and made a lot of moves, and I think they're good. But, again, I can't say they're better without Juan Soto. It's not from lack of trying. They lost the great player to free agency. and they tried to pivot and make moves, and I do think they have the pitching overall to make them the best team in the American League, but they're still not better than last year. All right, Kansas City, just by the maturation process, you think they might be better, but no real move other than re-signing, you know, Reagan and doing some, you know, minor things where you think they might be better. The Orioles lost Burns. They're going to take a step back. A lot of the great players, the Astros are completely different. Tucker went to the National League. A lot of the best players in baseball that were in the American League left for the National League. The Rangers, you know, Garcia's hurt. If DeGrom can pitch as well as he's capable, then maybe. But last year they were coming off a World Series appearance. Like, you can't say they're better this year. They haven't really done anything to make them better. So, like, you look at it, yeah. And even the Mariners, who everyone's killing, because, and I saw that Justin Turner absolutely went off on the Mariners. You know, he was there last year. They have a great starting pitching staff, and they did nothing. They need offense desperately, and they've done absolutely nothing. And so you look out west, right? The A's aren't going to be good enough to really compete. The Mariners stink. The Angels stink. The Astros aren't as good. You look at the Central, everyone laughs every time you beat a Central team, like it doesn't count in the postseason. And then really the only team that's made a major step up to the Yankees in the East is the Boston Red Sox. So while I think it's unfair to just say they're the class and don't worry, we'll see you in the World Series, there's no reason the Yankees shouldn't be in the World Series. And if they do lose, it's going to be as big a disappointment as any other year, because, or as, you know, as any other real disappointing year, because they're the best team. And I've said this a lot when defending Boone and his contract. In my mind, they have never underachieved, not a single season. Now, they haven't overachieved and they haven't won a championship, but they've never lost the series they absolutely should have won. And even over the course of the regular season, like, they have never been better, or they have never been, you know, a better team than their ultimate finish. Like, every team, like, you lost to the Astros. The Astros went on to win the championship. The Astros were this dominant team of the decade. Like, you've lost to the Astros. You could argue the Astros were better. They lost to the 18 Red Sox, won 103 games in the championship. Like, they've never finished lesser than where they absolutely had to justify how good they are. And if that happens again this year, like it's happened every year under Boone, that will get them to the World Series. Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, Big Mac. How are you? Good morning. Two things first before I get to the Yankee call. You know, you're talking about Mike and Chris. I still remember on a Yankee game during the season way back when, if the Yankees weren't doing well, you know who would call up and start yelling with Mike about, I want this guy gone, I want this guy. Who am I talking about, Big Mac?
His father, Mr. Russo?
No. Mr. Jerome. Remember Jerome?
Oh, Jerome, yeah. There's a lot of them. I mean, but Jerome would Jerome would call Steve. We'd have the Jerome zone. Absolutely. Let's go to Bernadette in Oceanside. What's up, Bernadette?
Hi. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good.
Good.
Have we solved that with third base problem yet, or no?
Oh, no. They've attempted to solve it. We'll find out if it actually works right now, but I think it's Oswaldo Cabrera. I think Oswaldo Cabrera is your starting third baseman, and I think that they'll platoon him a little bit with Peraza. I don't know if Peraza gets every at-bat against left-handed pitching, but that's pretty much going to be it. I mean, this thing, and that's why I opened up with Iglesias, because it was the Mets and the Yankees, because I think this signifies the idea they're not adding anybody until they either trade Marcus Stroman or whatever. Like, this was a minor league deal for $3 million, and they don't want to do it. So, like, I don't. If they're not willing to bring in Iglesias for that kind of money, I don't see anybody joining this Yankee team.
What about the guy that you were just speaking about?
Arenado? Arenado, yeah. Listen, I've been screaming about it. I think they still want to trade him, St. Louis. They want to get him off the books. They have a young kid. They want to play at third base, and they're kind of in a rebuild mode. But he makes too much money for the Yankees, so they have to eat a lot of the money to send him to the New York Yankees. I just saw a report yesterday that the Yankees haven't been overly aggressive over the last week or so. The Yankees wouldn't take on that money until they move Marcus Stroman. Like, too many moving pieces. It's already, you know, March 6th, I don't see it happening. I wish it would. I think it would make them better. But as of right now, I'm telling you, they might fix it at the deadline if they feel they need to. That's it. They're heading into the season without a real DH. It'll probably be Ben Rice mainly. And they're heading into without a real third baseman. It's going to be Oswaldo Cabrera. Chris and Seagirt. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, so
I get up this morning, the alarm goes off, and there's a rip from Long Island just going off on one of its negative waves. Did you ever see the movie Kelly's Heroes?
Kelly's Heroes?
Kelly's Heroes. Kelly's Heroes. Clint Eastwood, Donald Sutherland, Kelly Savalas.
I'm aware of it. Yeah, yes. I thought initially you said Hogan's Heroes, but yeah, Kelly's Heroes. I vaguely remember it. I can't say anything about it, but.
There's a character, Moriarty, played by Gavin McLeod.
Okay.
You know, Captain Stubby. And that's Brett from Long Island. He's like negative waves.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, why do you give him any time on the radio at all? I mean,
I get
promotion side, more positive. She's a positive person.
Yes, absolutely.
Listen to her.
No, I understand. Listen, he brings some negativity, there's no doubt. And I've been asked this question a lot. I heard Al talking about it the other day. And I get a lot of tweets asking me why I still take his call. Enough with him already. I mean, listen. It's, one, I've never met someone so determined to be a jerk in my life. It's almost fascinating. Like, it is. It's almost fascinating. And then sometimes he gets a rise out of me, which makes for good radio. And sometimes he's entertaining. And sometimes, you know, it's worth it. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes maybe I should have a quicker hook with him. But ultimately, he wants to participate. I just did 5 hours. I'm not turning away anybody who wants to participate. And sometimes he brings good stuff, and sometimes he gets a rise out of me. And sometimes it's worth it. But mostly, I am fascinated how he musters the enthusiasm to be such a determined a-hole every single day. It baffles me. I find it fascinating. And he never disappoints. And I hope I didn't disappoint you over the course of these last 5 hours. I know Rami didn't disappoint me. No, he was good. All right. That's it. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. The warm-up show is coming up. Rami, thank you very much. Thank you for calling and listening. Even you, Brett. I'll catch you tomorrow at 2 a.m. for our Friday day. We get out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-based insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.